So I have lots of books piled up here for inspiration. Was it a good bhajan?
Yes, very good.
You are feeling the mercy of Lord Nityananda?
Yes.
And the holy name?
Yes.
Ki jai, Haribo. Well, we'll begin with Chaitanya Charitamrita and read a few things here and there through the holy books, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and maybe something else. Chaitanya Charitamrita begins, Bande Gurun Isha Bhaktan, Isham Ishvara Tarakan, Tat Prakasham Chak Tak Chaktihi, Krishna Chaitanya Samyakam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord's incarnations, His plenary portions, His energies, and the primal Lord Himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That's the first verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is written in Sanskrit rather than in Bengali. So, today is the appearance day of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. One day last week was the appearance of Advaita Acharya. Yesterday was the appearance of Varahadev, which is not necessarily in Gaur Lila, but still there is some connection here. These days come, and today Nityananda Prabhu's appearance day, Advaita Acharya, Varahadev, and in a few weeks, the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And a week or so before that was the appearance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his appearance day. So we're moving through the year. It's like a circle. I always imagine the year in a circle. January at the top. It's something I saw when I was a kid. The year just goes like this. August is down here and it goes back up, kind of in a circular movement. So our year begins from the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there are many happenings before he appears. That is also the beginning. Advaita Acharya, he advents many years. He was maybe 40, 45, 50 years old when Mahaprabhu was born. At least 40 years old when Mahaprabhu appeared. So that means 40 years before. Nityananda Prabhu, maybe one year, at least 1 year, not a few days, at least 1 year before. As in Krishna Lila, Balaram on the calendar is 2 weeks before Krishna. But actually he is 1 year before, the previous year. So Balaram is a year and 2 weeks older than Krishna, his appearance. Understand? So similarly, Nityananda Prabhu is like, it comes out to be something like a year and 4 months senior to Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Nityananda Prabhu is described throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and in many prayers and songs and offerings by great acharyas and associates of the Supreme Lord. He is Baladev, non-different. Not an incarnation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an incarnation of Krishna. Like if you see the judge and you see him in the court, then you go to his bungalow and you see the judge. He's in a different dress. They are the same judge. It's the same person completely. But if you see like a bailiff is a representative of the court or some secretary from the court. That is some representative or expansion of the power of the judge, but it's not the judge himself. So Krishna and Vrindavan may be like the judge in the court, and Mahaprabhu is like the judge in his bungalow. He's in a little more ordinary atmosphere as a devotee. Do you follow? The same with Balaram and Nityananda Prabhu. Not an incarnation, not an expansion directly. Balaram himself. So his appearance is about 1 year and some 4 weeks before Mahaprabhu. Then second verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita comes, Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sahodito Godo daye pushpavanto chitro sando tamo nudo. As long as I've known Vishnu Maharaj, he has gone on singing this verse. Huh? I've heard him say it hundreds of times. Myself, I have such a poor capacity and such a lack of sincerity, I've never memorized this verse. But actually, we should memorize verses. Huh? That is part of Krishna consciousness, actually. Memorizing, taking to memory verses, prayers, pranams, and such about the Supreme Lord, Guru also, Vaishnava also. So if you're wanting to begin your study in remembering verses, this is a very important one. Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Nityanando Sahodito, Godo Daye Pushpavanto, Chitro Sando Tamo Nudo. It's very poetic, isn't it? It's all got that do ending. The meaning is, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda, means West Bengal, to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So to think about approaching Mahaprabhu and eliminating or ignoring or bypassing Nityananda Prabhu is actually unthinkable in the mind of any bona fide devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not possible. If you are such a bona fide devotee, you would not even think it possible. It's absurd how you will take Gauranga and not take Nityananda. But some people have had and still have that mentality. And particularly, it was the brother, I believe the brother, maybe brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. His brother, he told, well, I accept Mahaprabhu, but not Nityananda Prabhu. I accept Mahaprabhu, he's Yuga Avatar. Something like that, he told. Then his brother told him, this is the philosophy of accepting half a chicken. He gave a very peculiar example. Because from half a chicken, you cannot get an egg. It takes a whole chicken for an egg. Now, peculiar example, because Vaishnavas have nothing to do with chickens and eggs. But he gave an example. This chicken has been there for a long time. And everybody knows a half a chicken is a dead chicken. Right? And it is useless. It cannot produce any other chicken or nothing. It's useless. So he said, your philosophy is the philosophy of half a hen. Is there any Bengali? Arda, come on, come on.
Arda, kukuta, anyaya.
Arda, kukuka, anyaya. Kukuta, anyaya. Philosophy of half chicken. So the bona fide devotees of the Yuga Avatar accept not just the Lord, but they accept the Lord and his immediate expansions and his energies and his devotees. And this is one of the most glaring exposures to these so-called Bhagavan sadhus, godmen of India. They're alone. Many people believe they have some power, some shakti. They make gold, they make ashes, they hug you and they make you feel all tingly. That cost, of course, 500 rupees. They have so many things. So let's just say even they're able to do so many miracles, which they're not, actually. It's all cheating business. They don't do anything. Just cheat the weak minds of unfortunate people. But one of the most glaring exposures is they are alone. And when Bhagavan comes, he does not come alone. He comes with a big entourage. If the Tussledar comes here, he doesn't come alone. He comes with at least one jeep, one secretary, one or two people. Or he comes with his family. You will not find the Tussledar just walking in this gate. Not even the circle inspector will just come here alone. He'll at least have one officer with him, right? But Bhagavan, of course, he just comes alone. No. He comes with a huge entourage. Have you seen the minister coming? 20 cars, 30 cars. Prime ministers come, 100 cars. That is nothing compared to how many come when Bhagavan comes. We live in a very confused time. Generally, people are atheist, and when they become religious, They are impersonalist, right? And then the other part accepts God as a person. They accept some rascal as God. This is 99.9 or, I don't know, 100% of the population, not only in India, but all over the world. Even when people take the religion, they take this some bogus religion. There are practically no real pious people anywhere in the world. If they are pious, they'll come in connection with this Krishna consciousness movement. In some capacity, they'll stick to that. It doesn't matter how many churches they build, how many temples they build, how many mosques they build. They're all actually irreligious and unfortunate. And when you analyze, they're all living a life of lies. They don't follow even the principles of their bogus religion. They dress all in one color, cut the hair cut in all the same way, and something. But behind it is all foolishness. So it is very rare to find a real pious soul, a person who is a devotee of the Supreme Lord and who understands what is Krishna, what is Mahaprabhu. It's very rare. But the good news is it's an increasing thing. It's going on increasing. It's rare, but it's increasing. It's increasing day by day, more by more, every day, every week, every month, every year. It is increasing. So, this verse, that second verse, Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Nityanando Sahodito, Gododaye Pushpavanto Chitro Sando Tamonudo, it again comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, 84 verses later. Again, he gives the same verse again. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So the sun and the moon are what? They are the two brightest objects in the heavens, in the sky. In the day, all the stars are there. Even often, the moon is there. Oftentimes, the moon is also there, but the sun is so bright, you can't see any stars. They're there. They don't go away. They're all there. You just can't see them. Like, the light in your face is so bright. And when the sun sets, and all the stars again remanifest, the moon comes, and it overpowers also. It's the biggest. It's the brightest. On the Purnima, you can read anything in the night outside. So much light is there. And near to the moon, it will also close out any other stars. It drives them out. It's so powerful. So these are the most light-giving objects that we know. So therefore, the example, poetic example is given, like sun and like moon. Now, sun and moon never appear on the same horizon. Never. Sun is here, moon is here. Okay? On Gaur Purnima day, we will see the sun set and the sun and the moon rise. If you are on the top of a mountain in a very flat area and in the right place of the earth, you might see both just coming and going. But you'll never see them both on the same horizon, especially full. You never see like that. Maybe something, sun is here, moon is here, but not on the horizon. Horizon means where the earth and the sky meet. So, it is poetically, this is the nature of devotee, to give some poetic expression. So they have appeared like sun and moon on the horizon of Godadesh, West Bengal. Like the sun and the moon, they're driving away darkness. The darkness of what? The ignorance that is covering the knowledge of the living entities, of the eternal living entities. We heard a nice thing from Giri Maharaj the other day. He was purporting or telling, summarizing something he heard or read. It's either telling about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta or something he wrote. And it was an incident where Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada's guru, Sridhar Maharaj's guru, Puri Maharaj's guru, our Jagat guru, he was preaching one man very strongly. That man said, "Sir, are you trying to convert me?" And he said, "No, sir, it is not a matter of conversion. All this knowledge is already there in you. Simply I'm trying to spark that. It will come out." So, the knowledge of what? What knowledge he's talking about? You are eternal servant of Krishna. You are wandering in this world far, far from your eternal home. You should return. Turn your head towards Krishna. Go in that direction. That is the supreme benefit of life. These types of things, this is natural. It is not a conversion. It is the natural state of our consciousness to recognize, I am servant of Krishna, Krishna Das. This is the natural state. You understand? It is not you get converted to become a Vaishnava. That's what you are already. Now we're simply trying, it's like being buried in the sand. You can't move. Sometimes when we go to the beach, we play fun in the sand, we dig a hole, we put somebody in it, and we cover them with so much sand, they can't move. So you're already there, but you're buried in the ignorance. Not you, we. We're buried in this ignorance, material consciousness. And this preaching sound is just to give us strength so that we'll rise above this ignorance. It is the natural state. It is not an artificial imposition. It is not something that you change and become. Like bell metal, you can convert it to become gold through a chemical process. That metal becomes gold. But when you dig in the ground, you're just looking for the gold. It's already there. You just go there and find it. You see? So Krishna consciousness is like that. It's dormant in every living entity. We say in. That's also just not exactly right. It is. You and Krishna consciousness are not two separate things. It's not you and Krishna consciousness is in you. We say that now because soul is in the body and it's just to give some direction. The jiva itself is an atom, spiritual atom, of Krishna consciousness. It's what you are. Understand? It's not something that's different from you. Like if you're a doctor and you have surgical knowledge, well, that's not what you are. You may earn your living by that, and therefore you're called a surgeon. But in your next life, you will not be necessarily a surgeon. That's not what you are. You've been a cobbler, you've been a surgeon, you've been a king, you've been an accountant, you've been a doctor, you've been a lawyer. Well, that's the worst, huh? Then you went to hell for sure. All lawyers go to hell. So, but what you are lies much deeper than that. So, but it says, you know, within. It's dormant. It's what we are. Consciousness. The soul is a particle of consciousness. Consciousness of what? Itself? No. That would be very incomplete. That'd be another half a chicken type of thing. Like a hand that was just alive in one of these horror movies. It's just going, right? You know? Nothing, it's not connected to anything. That's useless. It has to be in the connection of the whole body. Then it's complete. So not just we're particles of consciousness, we're particles of Krishna consciousness. So Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they appeared to drive away this ignorance that covers the true identity of the living entity. Now here's a book called Kirtan Manjusha. This was published in 86. And this was published by my godbrother Triparai Maharaj, who many of you know, Sripad Triparai Maharaj. And at great difficulty and great expense, he paid to have this done. Something that we could do now in 30 seconds or less. He designed this with the sun and the moon coming on the same horizon. But so many people would look at this and it would hit them as strange. Like, you don't see that. There's something different. No one ever saw this. You can't see it with the human eye. It cannot be seen. And it represents that verse, appearing on the same horizon of Bengal. All right, now he goes on to say, and I'll read the English. Sri Krishna and Balaram, the personalities of Godhead, who formerly appeared in Vrindavan and were millions of times more effulgent than the sun and the moon, have arisen over the eastern horizon of Godadesh, West Bengal, being compassionate for the fallen state of the world. So he's clarifying their identity. Vrindavan is there, Krishna appears there, and Balaram appears there, and all their associates. Mayapur, what we call Mayapur, Godadesh, it's called Gormandala, this is Gupta Vrindavan. It is also Vrindavan. Govardhan Hill is there, Radhakund is there. Everything is there, but not in a state where you can see by the eye. But in terms of the mellow of rasa, these things are manifest in Mayapur, as we call Mayapur, Gaur Mandala. Non-different. You follow me on this? The place is non-different. The personalities are non-different. The difference is, if you try to approach Krishna and Vrindavan directly, you'll be foiled in your attempt. It's very, very difficult. You might as well say it's impossible. But if you approach Krishna in Navadvip, because in Navadvip there is the element of what we call magnanimity. There is grace, there is compassion, and there is mercy. We need those things. Huh? In Vrindavan, that's the land of justice. Kind of like, it's more like justice in the sense that Krishna kills the demons. Well, if we just go to Krishna Vrindavan, we may be killed. Why? Because we have anarthas, some demons living in our hearts. Well, Krishna kills demons, so he might chop off your head there. So, and we all have so many sins in past lives. If we go there, oh Lord, please deal with me accordingly. Cut down. So, we approach the mercy. So Nityananda, he is the most personified form of the mercy of Krishna, and he's come in Gaur Lila. And Mahaprabhu is very magnanimous in his Lila, Gaur Lila, in his distribution of the holy name of Krishna, which is prime benediction for humanity at large, and giving the devotees access to Vrindavan through his grace. That is his magnanimity, you see. That is called Odarya. When you fill a cup with milk, that's Krishna Lila. When you keep pouring the milk in and it just starts flowing all over the place, that's Chaitanya Lila. You follow? One is magnanimous. They're both the same, but one has got abundance so much it is going to others. If you try to show up for Rasa Lila, what is your name? From where you came? I don't see your name on the list. But if you show up for Sankirtan, the call of Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, you'll get admittance. Come, join Sankirtan. No one will say, well, how you came here? Can you be here? Of course, it did happen to one unlucky fellow. He showed up at Srivas Anga. That was some closed kirtan. That was not the general call for everybody. That was for advanced circle of devotees. Everything not for everybody. What we have, we don't give to beginners. There's something for senior devotees, something for beginners. So this man was very beginner, but not so much beginner. He was very proud. So because he was very proud, he didn't get accepted into Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. So we should take notice of this man. Although he was very qualified in many ways, he's a Brahmin, he's very pure by his habits. He even announced in an angry way, what, I live only by milk. So pure, I don't take even food. I simply take milk. If he said, I exist by Charanamrita, maybe. Or Mahatulsi, maybe. Mahaprabhu thought, oh, it only takes Charanamrita, that's very nice. Milk? Yeah, Mahaprabhu, babies also take only milk. What is your achievement? You're living only by milk. This man was rejected, and he became very angry. But generally, when Mahaprabhu came outside from Srivasanga, the call was to one and to all, join the Sankirtan. That Sankirtan is non-different than the Lila of Krishna, which we call as a Rasa Lila. And Rasa Lila in every way. Rasa Lila and Madhurya Lila, and Madhurya Lila, and Rasa means all Lilas are Rasa. Cowherd Boy is Rasa Lila, Mother Yasoda, Vatsa, that all rasa, Lila, play of divine love and pastime. So we get entrance to Rasa Lila, means to the rasas and Lilas of Krishna through Sankirtan. Through Sankirtan. Everyone is welcome there. And there we are not judged according to caste, race, previous requirements, knowledge, wealth, or any type of thing. None of those things are a criterion, a judge. One judgment day does come, though. It comes little by little, again and again. our guardians, inspired by Krishna, our guardians, they look into our account. How much you have there? They take a peek. Oh, yes, much faith. Great faith. Come on. With faith, we get an invitation to come closer to Krishna, closer to Mahaprabhu. But it was... he knows many slokas. He's written many articles. There's many websites. All these things. But he has no faith. You go back to first standard. You miss something. You're an old man, but you go back to first standard. Faith, that we call Shraddha. That was mentioned in the Namhata Bhaja. The purchasing cash is your faith. Giriraj and I were discussing the other day that Krishna will even give you, ultimately, if you're very inquisitive, you should be inquisitive. I mean, we hate it when there's a class and then the Swami say, are there any questions? And everybody looks like their uncle just died or something. No questions. So then we say, man, no questions. These people got no brains or something. There should be questions. It means you're inspired to have some questions. But then when you become so inquisitive, you lose the track. You lose the trail again. You must be inquisitive because then you get to hear more about Krishna and you need to understand things. But when you want to become a know-it-all and just you have all these questions, then ultimately Krishna will give you questions which even God himself can't answer to your satisfaction. In this way, he will push you into a corner that knowledge is not your saving grace. You must have faith. And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're an ordinary devotee or you're a great acharya. Knowledge is not what is not your saving grace. There have been many incidences, and one particular one I remember, we all remember, that Srila Sridhar Maharaj once had a dream, and he was Shastra Nipunj, means when it came to these books, and not just these books, Vedas and Upanishads, he was a genius. Then in his dream, all his knowledge was just gone. Just gone. He could not stand. No place to move. Stand. No knowledge. Means the earth from under him was just swept away. Nothing was there. In his dream, only his faith was his saving grace. And that's just not a dream. That's a reality. No one knows everything about Krishna. Even sometimes Krishna himself may sit down and look into a pool of water at himself and wonder, what am I? What am I means? What is there in that absolute supreme person? Even God himself wonders. So much is there. Then what chance do we small jivas have to know? Like what is this grace of a child, saving grace of a child? It believes in its parents. It believes blindly. It believes fully. It believes without hesitation in its parents. Of course, in this world, sometimes that's a shame because the parents cheat the children and they get nothing. But it's the nature. Because this child is so small and the parents are so big, they provide everything. They believe in them fully. What is the path, how to be, they'll be safe. If there's a danger in the night, do they call the police? No. When there's a danger in the night, they scream for their mothers and fathers, isn't it? The mothers and fathers, well, they call the police, right? But they have complete faith. So jivas are like that in relation to Krishna. Krishna is our shelter. But our faith is necessary. We must have complete faith in Krishna. We must have complete faith in all things that are Krishna and Krishnized. Krishnized means like prasadam, Krishna's mercy. None different than Krishna also, guru and Vaishnava. Not just guru. In the beginning, we try to have full faith in guru. But we oftentimes are standing on the foot of a Vaishnava as we have our prayer to a guru. We give pain to a Vaishnava. We have to have full faith in Vaishnava also, not just in Guru. But it begins first in Guru.